All right. Well, how did you first become involved with the 2006 Dracula?
I mean, Dracula is something that maybe every composer wants to do one day, you know. So, so I was very keen to do it. I knew they were doing it, and I knew the you know, executive, because it was part of the same Marple. So it kind of, you know, I got involved quite early with that, and you know, that was a nice project to do, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you approach a score? You've mentioned that a lot of composers have interpreted. How do you approach a score that's been interpreted so many times?
I think it is nice to a nod to some things, some of the scores that have been done before. And in my case, I found actually the most interesting one was from Werner Herzog's Nosferatu. And I think that, what were they called? They were a German band who did the sort of main theme. I can't remember. Oh, Popol Vuh, I think they were called. And it's quite a strange theme. And I found that quite inspiring. I probably shouldn't have listened to it that much. But, you know, the sort of eeriest Dracula. In fact, I think the kind of the eeriest Dracula film that I'd seen, actually. I think, you know, you have to, you know, just still kind of start from scratch each time. And also, because that's, you know, the film, they took, in terms of the script, they took very much their own angle on the story, which was, you know, more based on, you know, like, for example, syphilis was a really in the original Bram Stoker book, but you know, so there was another dimension to it, and for me, so that became, you know, thematically a kind of you know, a sort of spine in the score, for example. So I guess, you know, if it had just been like any other Dracula film, I think it would have been more difficult, but because it kind of felt more its own thing, you know, that it made it good for me. I mean, but, you know, it's the same as with the Agatha Christie, you know, stories. Like, so some people who know the books really well get very angry when then the scriptwriters change some of the, change the stories and et cetera. But in a way, at the same time, you know, it kind of can make it more interesting as well.
Well, now, I first became aware of your work on the TV series Primeval. So what brought you to that series?
It was involved because Cameron McAllister, who produced Jericho, the series, I don't know if that's something that came to Canada. That was a 1950s. I know there's another Jericho now.
Yeah,
that's,
I was just
well,
say,
but
it's that it's other not, Jericho.
Yeah. But Jericho, the Jericho that I did, was a 1950s detective series.
Mm-hmm.
And which was, you know, quite traditional sort of 1950s score, but a really nice project. Of that, Cameron McAllister then produced, you know, the first series of Primeval. So he then just was keen to work with me again, and for me it was you know, nice as well, because it was really, I've never really done a science fiction score, and also to get involved in full blown action scoring, you know, is good fun, really. So
that's what appeals to you about the series, is that it was fun, or is there anything else?
Yeah, well, I mean, also because it being you know, essentially science fiction, or I guess it's a kind of mixture of contemporary and science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, you can do some wild stuff with the music as well, because, you know, you're traveling into different times, and there are these creatures plus, you know, the kind of context, really, and you can do. You know, it gives you some freedom to do some, you know, some crazy stuff, really, which is quite good fun.
So now, how have your themes developed since the beginning? Like, do you have a Nick Cutter theme, or are you just doing music?
I mean, I rarely have themes for characters, really, because too much Mickey Mouse. I think if you do that, because also, and so I have it more about the, you know, strand of the story or, you know, situations. I mean, for example, I had a theme at the big, like for the first few episodes that we call the anomaly theme, you know, the anomaly being the, that they call the time portals, mm-hmm. essentially, in primeval anomalies. So I had a sort of, you know, very simple piano theme for that. Now it's sort of become more part of the bigger picture. And then I had also a theme which was about Helen Cutter, which was Nick Cutter's lost wife. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, you know, we didn't know, you know, if she ever comes back, and she was just somewhere, you know, somewhere else, and it was a kind of sad thing, you know, to start with. Until, you know, of course, she turned up and became, you know, kind of a troublemaker, really. And that theme, again, has evolved from, you know, being about the sadness of, you know, about the loss of Helen Cutter, and it became more part of the whole, this whole story that starts to get, you know, more complex in a way.
So now, how involved does the director or producer in this case, or are you just told, go compose and bring me back something?
It depends. Yeah, sometimes it really is a little bit like that. And then, you know, there are some directors who, you know, who some of them are quite openly admit they are not that musical, and they're kind of happy to just to let me get on with it. Mm-hmm. And some others are, you know, more particular, or they also have some, you know, maybe some temp music that I've put on that they like, or that I should get, you know, inspired about. And I think it varies a little bit on from episode to episode, but generally, you know, as a composer on these longer series, the production really have to start to trust you a little bit, because you have been following it through from the beginning, and you're trying to, you know, give it a consistency, and also to make the story work over the length of several episodes as well. It's quite interesting now, actually. I'm starting on the third series of Primeval. I'm now starting with episode 6. We're making 10 now, so starting in episode 6, and then I think in about sort of 4 months, actually, I'm only doing episode 1. So it's completely in a very, you know, mixed up order. So I really have to now, you know, design it properly, like you would maybe, you know, do with an opera or a classical piece. So the themes evolve and have then arrived at the right place in episode 6. You know, so it needs now quite a bit of planning, actually.
Right. So you mentioned the planning that gets involved. I imagine it throws it off when they give you episode 6, and then you still haven't seen one through 5. Yeah. I imagine that that is quite a logistic problem.
Yeah, well, logistically, it's not for me. I think it's more artistically. It's more a problem, really, that because generally I'm quite used to actually scoring films chronologically.
Okay.
Because then I kind of know what, you know, well, I write the themes, but then, you know, to act work, I kind of work my way from beginning through to the end, because then you know exactly what happened, what you've written, and how the themes are doing and how they evolve. And now we've done them, you know, not quite in order before, but this is kind of the most extreme, actually, that I've done. I hope it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, has there been any talk of a soundtrack release?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there has. In fact, there has been. Now, I think the plan is now to. Well, there are, you know, a couple of labels really who are you know, intending to put it out, and it will, you know, in all likelihood, be released when the next series will be released in the UK, which will be early next year, early, you know, January 2009.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now, as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music. But do you use silence as a composing tool?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you definitely use silence in the short term. I mean, let's say, you know, you can often end a piece of music abruptly, and it will have, you know, quite a startling effect. And you could also, you know, or sometimes, you know, I quite like, you know, having some scenes, you know, without music. I think because it's become a little bit of a problem that, particularly on television, I think there is too much music really generally used, and then it becomes too, you know, relentless and meaningless. And so I believe more in having music there properly, and you can hear it, and it's doing something, and then it's stopping, rather than having something that's just there all the time, a little bit in the background.
So now, how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote at the beginning of your career?
They would. I have definitely learned a lot as well. You know, there's, you know, so I think orchestration has probably hopefully improved, become more sophisticated, and also I think I have learned how to appreciate simplicity as well, which maybe at the beginning, you know, when I had, you know, for example, you know, on an orchestra or a lot of instruments, you know, I would try and make it as big or as complicated as possible to make full use of all the musicians there, etc. And now I guess I'm less worried about that, and so I'm quite happy with some quite simple, you know, themes as well. And also, I probably kind of learned to appreciate kind of, you know, some more beautiful, you know, simple stuff as well. I was probably came initially from a sort of a background where I wrote quite edgy stuff. So, and now I think I found a good balance between, you know, I'm quite happy to write some quite sweet tunes now as well. So I think that's probably how they differ now.
So I know you're currently working on series 3 of Primeval, but is there anything else in your future?
At the same time, I'm actually working on Miss Marple series 4. I'm also doing a thriller. In fact, I'm just starting that with Jamie Payne, who directed 6 episodes of Primeval. Mm-hmm. And it's called You Be Dead, and it's a sort of it's a thriller based on a true story. And then, as I mentioned, I'm working on my own film project as well.
Well, I really appreciate the time you've given me today.
Well, likewise, yeah.